Carol, you want to do the invocation?
Yeah.
All right, we fix this stuff. All right, we're going to call this thing to order here. So everybody can get back home and get the grass cut. We'll have the invocation and the pledge allegiance. Everybody stand.
Father God, we come to you tonight asking for wisdom and courage and strength, and for everybody to be able to voice what they think or want or know. And let us just meet with an open heart for this city, trying to do what is best for the people in this town. We thank you, Lord, that you brought this amount of people in here tonight to hear and to react and to respond with everything that we do here. We ask for wisdom as a council, that we have studied and worked hard and come up with ways that we think we can better the city. We thank you, Lord, that you have blessed every person in here with breath, a thought pattern of their own, and for wisdom and strength and courage. We applaud them for being here with us tonight. And on council, we want to just thank you for giving us the courage and the strength and the wisdom to always, always take into consideration all of the facts and all of the wannabes and could-bes and should-bes. We thank you for each person today that in their lives, if you are known in their lives, we just ask you to continue to bless them and their families and bless this town and teach us as we go and we grow in this town to be a city that is based on your Christian principles. It's in your precious name we ask these things, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You got the agenda before you. Is there approval?
I'd like to amend the agenda. We need to add under new business. We need to look at three quotes on a new heat pump for the city hall. Our heat pump's out of order. So if we could just add that to the agenda under new business.
I make a motion. Will we add that to the agenda?
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Yeah, may all in favor. Motion carried. All right. We'll go now to the public hearing, and I'm gonna turn this over to Mr. Malcolm over there.
Okay. This is a public hearing for a rezone of two tracts of property. Just for purposes of procedure, going by the zoning procedures law, we're going to allow the applicant or their representative 10 minutes to speak on behalf of the rezone. Then we'll take anyone who's opposed, anyone who wants to speak on behalf of the rezone, in addition to the applicant, we'll give you 5 minutes. We're going to have to stick to those time limits so we can, we've got other business as well tonight. But then the anyone that wants to speak against the rezone will also have 5 minutes to speak, and then we'll open it up for the council to ask questions of the applicant. And with that, we'll be a problem.
All right.
Good evening. My name is Andrea Gray, and I represent Roland Coleman and his request to approve the development called Enclave at Dial Farm. I have the pleasure of meeting you all at the work session on Tuesday. I'd just like to take a minute to thank you for all your time and effort in reviewing our proposal and talking through it with us and working with us. Your engineering and legal staff have been great to work with, and we very much appreciate that. So, with that, we are requesting to rezone property located at the corner of Highway 138 and Forester Cemetery Road. It's a 90.42 acre property. It's currently zoned agricultural. We're asking that 72.28 acres be rezoned as planned unit development, HUD, and that 17.77 acres be rezoned for commercial uses under a C2 zoning. Under the HUD zoning, we're requesting to develop approximately 157 homes in two phases. The first phase, here in the darker area, consists of 50 homes and 18 acres of green space. And Mr. Parker was nice enough to help me outline in green the 18 acres of green space included as a part of that development. Also in that 18 acres is an amenity area. We've got a pedestrian walking trail, a playground, a community garden, and a covered pavilion with restrooms. The remainder, phase two of the development, is approximately 107 lots, with three of those being out parcel lots on Forester Cemetery Road. The total density of the residential portion, the HUD portion, is 2.29 lots per acre. The commercial portion, fronting up on Highway 138, is drawn as six commercial lots, and those uses will be determined by the tenants that have interest in those properties. But here we've shown possibly a gas station, fast food restaurants, office, and shopping. At your work session on Tuesday, it was said that this development is bigger in size and scope than anything the city has ever seen before. And that is absolutely true. This development is a great opportunity for the city to increase its commercial and residential options. Under your 2017 comp plan, one of the goals listed is to meet residents' needs and attract newcomers and tourists by providing quality housing, recreation, education, shopping, employment, and transportation. This development here will meet the employment and shopping options with the commercial and will bring high-quality residential development that is much in demand here in your city. The developer's vision for this development is to create a village-like setting with the homes, high-quality homes, around 2,000 square feet and higher, on smaller lots, which allow for the additional amenity and green space, but also play into the demands of the millennials and the retired folks who want less maintenance. In addition to that, these homes are very high quality. There are hardy plank siding with brick and stone accents. So not cookie cutter, not vinyl siding. Very nice homes with sodded yards and beautiful sidewalks. And for you to look at, I brought with me some representative layouts and facades of the houses we're proposing to put in the development.
Thank you.
And also as an attachment, and Mike will tell you that every good zoning attorney will do this, I've included a reservation of constitutional rights letter preserving my client's rights if the zoning were not to be approved. So I've provided you with these representative house plans, and they've each got names: Evans Mill, Maple Ridge, Fisher's Walk, Maple Grove Cottage. And as you can see, there's a variation in the facades and the house layouts, and like I say, very high quality, pretty houses. Something that the city and my client would be very proud of. These homes will generate property tax revenues, sewer tax revenues, building permit fees revenues, and the people moving into these homes and shopping in this commercial district will bring additional sales tax revenues to the area, which should help offset any burdens that these developments put onto schools, roads, and other infrastructure related costs. Another great attribute of this development is that it will allow the city to fully use its sewer capacity. At this time, we understand that you have capacity to serve 50 lots, phase one of our development. And we understand that in order to start with phase two, you would have to do the additional upgrades to your sewer plant. But what a great way to show a quick return on your investment and to show the citizens your forethought, how it has come to fruition, and to make that return. It would be a great benefit to the city. This development is in a great location, again at the corner of Highway 138 and Forester Cemetery Road. It's surrounded by commercial and residential uses, so it will be continuing with those current uses that are adjacent to it. It's currently zoned agricultural, which is really not a good use for it at this time, given the busy road, the traffic on 138, and the fact that it's so proximate to the city center. It's really better used for commercial and residential. Additionally, the residential is set back off of the road, with is separated from 138 by the commercial portion, separated from Forester Cemetery by green space, and separated to the south by a 100 to 200 foot gas easement line. So it's kind of tucked back away, its own little village. We have received the conditions that your staff prepared in their report, and very much appreciate taking time for the work session yesterday to go through these, and them providing these ahead of time. I believe we are at 18 conditions on the residential portion and 7 conditions on the commercial. And I've been through these with my client, and he has agreed to all these conditions. He thought you made some great suggestions. And some of the things you asked for were going to be incorporated to begin with the sidewalks and preventing on-street parking. So we appreciate you putting that together, and like I say, my client agrees with all the requests in those. So with that, I respectfully request that the city approve the rezoning of 72.28 acres of the planned unit development and the rezoning of 17.77 acres to a commercial zoning of C2 with the conditions recommended by the staff. With that, I'd like to reserve the remainder of my time for any rebuttal required.
We've got several names on here that have checked that may want to speak. Is there anyone that wants to speak on behalf of the rezone in favor of the rezone? Okay, seeing none, is there anyone on the list that signed in that wants to speak against the rezone?
I've got a question. I'm not going to sit here and make a speech about it. I've got a question. Can you ask that or not?
You'll have to come up and...
Is that okay?
Yeah, if you're speaking against the rezone.
No, that's all right.
Are you speaking against the rezone?
No.
Okay. No. All right. Mr. Parker, could you stand up and just state the conditions that we're talking about so the council will be aware of those?
We'll do, based upon our review in the council's work session on Tuesday the 8th, it is recommended that rezone RZ1802, the enclave at Dial Farm Plan Unit Development PUD, be approved, 72.62 acres from AG Agricultural Plan Unit Development with the following conditions. One, development will be designed and constructed in accordance with the concept plan approved by the mayor and council as a part of the rezoning approval. Minor variations due to topography or engineering constraints may be approved by the city at their discretion. Any proposed increase in the total number of lots will require the project to be resubmitted for approval. Condition two, the PUD conditions for common property ownership outlined in section 906 shall apply to this PUD, which would relate to the amenity areas in the homeowners association. Condition number three, elevations and floor plans for all homes and amenity structures shall be submitted to the mayor and council for final approval. Four, no multifamily, duplex, or apartment units shall be permitted. Item five, developers shall limit the development of residential lots in the PUD to a maximum of 50 lots in the first phase of development, subject to the availability of sanitary sewer capacity. Future phases may not be developed until such time as the City of Walnut Grove completes an expansion of the existing wastewater treatment facility at the sole discretion of the City Council. Condition six, all required sewer and access easements shall be designed to include future phases and adjacent properties. Condition seven, all residential driveways shall be 20 feet minimum in width and constructed of concrete. This condition is applied to discourage on-street parking and provide additional parking on each lot. Condition eight, developers shall install a divided entrance and landscape median at both Forester Cemetery Road and State Route 138, which would pretty much mirror your entrances on either side of the parkway, trying to give some unification to the city. Item nine, developers shall construct 4-foot concrete sidewalks on both sides of planned internal streets with a minimum 1-foot-wide vegetated strip between the sidewalk and the curb and gutter. The developer shall install decorative signposts throughout the subdivision in lieu of conventional signposts. Posts shall reasonably match those along Walnut Grove Parkway. Condition 11, all lots shall be sited following residential construction, including the front, side, and rear yards. Condition 12, subdivision entrance signs shall be constructed of brick or stone, including architecturally pleasing elements and our decorative fencing at each entrance. Condition 13, developers shall construct the proposed amenity areas, pavilion, and walking trails prior to issuance of the 30th residential building permit in phase one. Condition 14, prior to the issuance of any residential building permits under phase two, the developer shall construct and install a right turn lane at Forester Cemetery Road and State Route 138 at developer's sole cost and expense. That would be to facilitate traffic movement from Forester Cemetery Road onto 138. Condition 15, developer shall provide for required stopping site distance along Forester Cemetery Road at the proposed entrance, including the design and construction of any required modifications to Forester Cemetery Road if required. Condition 16, developers shall design the entrance road at State Route 138 to eliminate on-street parking and accommodate anticipated traffic. Condition 17, developer to construct, install, and maintain a 15-foot vegetated buffer between the residential lots and proposed commercial uses along State Route 138. And condition 18, tree placement and plantings shall follow the guidelines in the land development ordinance. If you'll flip that page over, the commercial rezone, 17.77 acres along State Route 138 from agricultural to commercial C2, shall be approved with the following conditions. Item 1, only uses permitted in the C2 district shall be allowed on the subject property. Condition 2, city engineer to approve all water and sewer designs prior to issuance of any development permits. Sanitary sewer designs shall be configured to permit all proposed lots on the PUD concept plan to be served, including granting of easements and access rights to adjacent properties as required by the city. Condition 3, Georgia DOT shall review, permit, and approve all access from the property on the Highway 138 and approve any and all construction within the right-of-way of Highway 138. Condition 4, the proposed State Route 138 entrance road to the PUD residential area shall be designed to function as a public road and not as a commercial driveway. Design of this roadway to be coordinated with the construction of phase one of the PUD development or sufficient access width granted if commercial parcels are developed first. Condition 5, all stormwater management ponds and improvements shall be designed and constructed in accordance with the guidelines of the land development ordinance. Again, a 15-foot wide vegetated buffer shall be provided between commercial and residential uses. Condition 6, exterior architecture of the proposed uses shall be in general conformance with the design guidelines outlined in the Downtown Overlay District, Section 911, D9, including site signage. And finally, condition 7, mayor and council must approve the proposed exterior architectural features and appearance for all proposed uses prior to any building permits being issued.
At this time, does the council have any questions of the applicant?
The only question I have, number 9 about the sidewalks. Our current zoning is 3 foot for internal residential with a 2 foot buffer, but it doesn't mention a 4 foot going down Forester Cemetery and 138 to match our current zoning requirements. Is that included?
Not included in the current conditions.
Okay. So we don't allow any sidewalks going down Forester Cemetery, R-138?
And the council could ask for that condition. It's just not included in the conditions as presented.
I make a motion that we add the 4-foot sidewalk going down 138 and Forester Cemetery.
Probably need to ask the applicant if they're willing to do that.
Are you willing to do that?
The applicant is willing to accommodate your request.
Okay. At this point?
Any other questions of the council? Well, at this point, the rezon is on the table for the council's consideration.
I make a motion that we accept the Sundial Enterprises request from Act Deferred with full acceptance of all 18 of the recommended zoning conditions by our city engineers from I think that we should consider that, and as a yes, that we would accept it.
Is that including the sidewalk?
For clarification, there's 18 that Jimmy read, and then yep. I think one was agreed upon tonight, so there'd actually be 19 on the PUD, and then there's conditions on the commercial, there's 7 conditions on the commercial piece.
Did the attorney respond with a positive that they would do the sidewalks?
Yes, ma'am.
For clarification for my minutes, these sidewalks that we're asking for, how far are we doing these on 138? And is that just going to be in front of the development from
the land we own?
That's all they're
doing. And they're going to be 4 foot wide? Is that what we're saying? 4 foot wide? Okay.
That's all they own.
Just for clarification purposes, we'll take up the residential part first, which I think is what Ms. Witcher made the
yes.
motion for, and then we'll do a separate motion for the commercial piece. But there's a motion on the table.
I second that motion.
All in favor? Any opposed? Motion carried.
And now we need to consider the commercial piece.
I make a motion with the added sidewalks that we approve the commercial side of this proposed development.
Along with the 7 conditions.
With the conditions.
Along
yes.
with the 7 conditions.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to move to the budget hearing now. It's going to sort of follow the same format, except each side who wants to speak with regards to the Walnut Grove budget will have 5 minutes. Is there anyone that wants to speak on the budget at this point? What's your name?
Guy Hall.
Guy Hall. Mr. Hall, you want to come up? And I'll just remind everybody, you got 5 minutes.
My name is Guy Hall. I'm one of the trustees of the Walnut Grove Public Library. And a couple of months ago, we did have a discussion about the funding for the library. I think the fact that we're going to have new patrons moving into the area boosts the case that we could possibly go back to $49,000 a year funding. That's my argument for that. But I do have a question about what just happened here. You approved this with the qualification about the sidewalk, correct? Is that, was this just passed?
Yes.
Yes.
And was this presented at a previous public meeting?
Four meetings.
Four meetings?
Mm-hmm.
But not the one, the previous one that we had, correct? Did they cancel on that?
Yeah. No, they withdrew their application.
So they tried to do apartments, then they withdrew it and came and did housing? Is that how it worked? Okay. And by the way, one more thing real quick. Obviously, with this development, it seems like there may have to be a consideration for a streetlight in that crossing area between, you know, where the residential and commercial development be and the parkway. Is that something that the city can advocate to the, excuse me, to the county or the state, or how do you go about doing a streetlight? Has anybody considered that?
It's my understanding that 138 is a state road. It's governed by the Georgia DOT. They would have to do a traffic study to determine whether or not it's a traffic light. And that wouldn't be a local decision.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Cannon? I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Mayor, Councilman, I'll be very brief. I have provided you information on the needs of what we feel are very meager needs of the Walnut Grove Library. I won't go in and reiterate those at this particular point in time. All I would do would be to ask you that as you deliberate on this budget, that you look at the needs that we have, the desire that we have to go back to 44 hours of open time for the citizens of Walnut Grove and surrounding area. And we really implore you to look at that and reinstate the budget for next year back to the $49,900 level, or at least that much, so that we can regain some ground that we've lost with respect to the this year's budget allowance. I know full well what you're going through and what you're encountering. I've been there before, and we're there with the library. I know the decisions are difficult, but this is a very vital part of what we think is a very beneficial program, beneficial process, beneficial asset for the city of Walnut Grove. And we need your support with respect to the reinstatement of the additional $5,000 that was eliminated from this past year's budget, or from this year's budget. I won't go any further. We provided additional information to you, and we just hope that you see fit to help us with the need that we have in order to be able to meet the needs and the desires of the citizens of this town and county. Thank you.
Mr. Cannon, may I ask you a question, please?
Yes, ma'am.
What are the benefits, refresh my memory, the benefits that you received from the library from Uncle Remus?
Well, Uncle Remus, is obviously the organization under which we operate. It was through Uncle Remus that we were able to petition the state through the state library, public library, to get the funds to build the library. They manage the library. They provide books. I mean, I could spend the next 45 minutes, and with assistance of people here, giving you a long litany of what the benefit is.
Financially, how do they support you if they do?
They do not support us financially. We are supported, we're financed by this particular council city and our county. And we also get funding through the state library for books and other things such as technical support and so forth. But Alpha Remus does not provide us financial aid. They provide us assistance in managing the financial aid that that we get from this body and from the county.
Are you receiving any financial aid from Friends of the Library?
Yes,
organization?
Yes. Yes, we do. Any other questions?
Anyone else? Ma'am.
Hi, good evening. I'm Cheryl Rainey, and I've been a resident here for 18 years. And I'm here on the library. I go all the time. I work 6 days a week, so Sunday is really the best time for me and for me to bring my grandchildren. I started bringing my granddaughter when she's 3 years old to the library. And we started a thing where she could check out a book for every year, so she'd get 3 books every 2 weeks. And she'd read those 3 books, so she's reading 6 books a month. She is now 7, and she's reading 14 books a month. Her teacher even commented and says, you give them 10 minutes in the library once a week at school. She's in second grade, and her level of reading is at 4.5 grade level. We also, on Sunday afternoons, from other patrons, my granddaughter has learned how to sew on a sewing machine. She's learned how to embroidery and how to make friends, and we love our library. With this budget cut, we can't go. And so now I'm forced to go to another county or Loganville if I want to keep her up on this. So I'm just asking for you to please review, because I know in my case, what it has done, and I know the future of our children. Thank you.
Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
I want to say something about the library as well. We live here in Walnut Grove.
Can you state your name just for the record?
Sarah Weaver. My granddaughter goes to Walnut Grove Elementary, and the child loves to read. But they only let her pick out books for a third grader. She's reading on a fifth grade level. So since they do not allow her to read above her level at school, we depend on the library. Because she can pick out any book she wants and read. So without the library, this child would not, like this other lady said, have the reading capacity that she does. And reading just enhances your math, your science, your social, it just enhances everything. I work for a school system, and our libraries have certain things, but again, children are not allowed to read. She's third grade, and she can't check out a fourth grade book. But I can take her to the library, and she can pick out anything she wants. So, I mean, the library is very important to us because it does allow them, especially her, and there's a lot of other children too, to go ahead and if they love to read, they can read whatever they want. It doesn't matter what level they're on at school, and it just it betters them in the long run because the better they read, the better they comprehend other things. So I just ask that you would consider that. On behalf of all the children here now and the ones that will be coming in the future.
May I respond to that?
Yes, ma'am.
It's an educational problem.
Uh-oh.
If you've got teachers and staff and a school prohibiting a child to read at the level that they can read and choose to read, that becomes an educational problem. And that's a problem that parents should address educationally with their school system, with their schools, with their teachers. I taught from first grade to age 19, every subject you can imagine. I never prohibited one of my kids from reading. I had a special time in my room every day after we had our lunch. We came back. I told them to bring what you choose to read, as long as it's a magazine. Nothing, of course, dealing with adult issues of any kind. But I understand the situation that both of you are facing. But I think you need to talk to your principals, talk to your reading teachers, talk to your educators in the county, and say, what up with this? Because if a child can read and have understanding at a level beyond their grade level, that should be something that education provides and says, atta girl. So I would strongly suggest that parents and grandparents in here, if you're finding that happening and you have to go to Kalamazoo to get something that the children can read because they read above their grade level, and I would also suggest that you put them in Child Life magazine or some of the magazines that will provide them the different grade levels in each issue. And it also gives them a working opportunity to do other work in that little book. It's enroll them in library programs online. You know, if I were a parent, I'd be down there protesting today. My child reads third grade and reads at fifth grade. Who's holding them back and why? If this is supposed to be a progressive educational system, let's progress.
You do not have the parent involvement for that. Not enough parents are willing to speak up for their children.
I understand.
And as a grandparent, I have no rights to go up there and speak for my grandchild. And it doesn't matter because I'm not the mother. I'm not the parent. So the school does it. Parents do not understand the power that they have in the school system.
Well, maybe the Georgia educational system needs to revisit that because in Florida.
Well, I don't know. Let's Walnut Grove Elementary, if it doesn't align with the Georgia milestones, it's not happening. So, it was just...
I appreciate you saying that.
We use the library a lot.
Anyone else want to speak on the budget? Mr. Mayor, it's on the table.
Yeah, motion.
Well, we're not voting on the budget tonight, so if you've...
Right.
So you are welcome to pick up a copy of it. And it's just the budget that the council, when we had a work session, this budget is their budget. So we'll vote on the budget in June, so you can contact your city council members if you want to discuss, different, and we can... But this will be the budget we'll vote on. If there are no changes made in June, this is just the public hearing that we're required to have.
Thank you. Okay, now we'll go to public comment. If anyone wants to speak on public comment, Mr. Cannon?
I promise you, I'm not talking about budget, but I am excited to be here tonight to. I want to introduce to you our new director of the Uncle Remus Regional Library System, Ms. Stacy Brown. Stacy, do you stand? Stacy replaces Ben Carter, who, as effective May 1, took a position as a deputy state librarian, and we're just very pleased to have Stacy come and fill this particular leadership role for us, and we're excited about that. Stacy has extensive experience in public libraries in our state and comes to us from the Conyers Rockdale library system, of which she was the director, and we want to very soon have an opportunity to invite you and our trustees to an opportunity to get to know her and much better. So, but I did want to take this opportunity, and I appreciate you letting me introduce her to you tonight. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Stephanie Moncrief. I'm here on behalf of Emerald Cove. I've had some complaints. I guess there was a sign put in the front of our neighborhood saying that work was going to be done, and they've left big ruts and dirt, and it needs to be repaired. So I was just wondering who that is addressed to, because it's the company putting in the pipes.
The gas line.
Yeah.
Come good in my front yard.
The what?
Come and look at my front yard.
No, I know, but they've been fixing that nicely and stuff, but they've removed the sign, and there's been no indication that anything's going to be repaired. So I was just wondering who we talked to about that.
It'll be repaired before they get through.
Okay, so you guys will handle it?
We'll handle it.
All right, perfect. Thank you.
Any other public comment? Seeing none.
All right. We'll go now to the minutes approval of the March 8th, April 15th, April 17th meetings. The motion.
I make a motion we pass approval
second.
Minutes.
All in favor?
All right.
Motion carries. Public Works report. And Mr. Barton is out of town. About the only thing we've got him that he would probably want to report on is we got to fertilize and spray the sewer plant field. So we'll get into that later on.
That's the one we have to vote on. Huh?
What do you mean, have to vote on that tonight?
Because he needs to do it, yeah.
I didn't know that. I don't know nothing about no houseway, so, you know. I'm just there. I'm a figure. Well, they say we got to vote on this thing tonight. How much is it?
The fertilizer needs to be put on the sewer, on the spray fields, and it was mentioned at the March meeting, and then at the April meeting, we didn't have a quorum, so we didn't have an opportunity to talk about it again, and so time's getting away from us, and the fertilizer is between $1,500 and $2,000, so that needs to be voted on so that can go ahead and be put on the fields. So,
well, why does it need to be fertilized?
To keep the Bermuda grass alive, which is what EPD requires us to plant and what is there, so to keep that healthy and alive. I mean, I'm speaking out of turn because I'm not sure, but that's kind of what I was told, was that's what EPD required us to plant, so we don't want anything to happen to it.
But what does happen to it? The hay? Is that not what grows over there?
Well, what did we put something on it to kill the
pre-emergent?
Pre-emergent.
That
yeah.
Killed off what was growing in with the Bermuda?
The crabgrass or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know enough to talk about it, so I was just told that we needed to vote on it because it needed to be done.
Well, that's someplace I don't know nothing about.
Why is there a question about?
Can you speak
about
to that?
I can't. Having sat on the sewage board, my name is Maxine Klein. Having sat on the sewage board, when we met and planned the sewage system, part of what went or took place in our plan was what happens to the hay, what happens to the field, who maintains it, et cetera, et cetera. And it was agreed by the sewage board at that time that we would make arrangements to have someone take care of the hay, mow it, and we are required to.
Who mows it? Who cuts it?
Alan Barton.
Okay, I was going to say, I don't know the answer to that, but I know that it was agreed that whoever would cut the hay, it was in agreement that they would receive that hay if they wanted and do what they wanted to with it, because they would not be charging us anything to cut. That is standard procedure in a lot of places to have that happen. I do believe that there was a meeting later, right after the sprinkler system all got in, when the council, prior to this council, discussed it at a meeting, one of the meetings that I attended. And at that meeting, part of the discussion was who should cut it. And at that point, it was decided that Alan would cut it because of the sprinkler heads and the damage that can happen. And my understanding is that we had somebody substitute when Alan was out with a shoulder injury, and several of the sprinklers were broken at that time by whoever substituted to cut it. So it's important that whoever cuts it is aware to maintain. They can't just go in and whip around. You know, it's not as simple as just cutting hay.
But what happens to the hay after it's cut?
Whatever they want to do with it. That's their choice. They're cutting at their expense. Whoever we, council or city or whoever chooses. I mean, that was what was in agreement with the sewage board at the time that we discussed. I don't know for certain that that's the whole process. I'm saying that's what was discussed at the time that the sewage boards met about all of this, was that whoever would cut the hay can do what they want to with it. They can take it home, they can sell it, but they do have to pick it up.
There was an agreement that it could be cut and sold?
Yes.
But then the hay belonged to the city?
Well, you have two choices.
The sprayer field belongs to the city.
You can pay someone to come cut it and keep the hay, or their hay can be the payment for cutting it.
And who's responsible for the damage in the process of collecting the hay to the current sprinkler heads?
Well, that I don't know what has been said on that, but my guess would be that unless you can prove whoever cut the hay actually did the damage, it would still fall to the city. That would be my guess. You know, unless somebody's out there or sees them do the damage, then it's going to fall to the city to pay for that.
Alan, an employee of the city?
He is.
Mm-hmm. And do we know that if he's cutting it on?
Last time I heard, he's cutting it on the beach.
Hold on.
On what?
Seriously.
Would you like? Ma'am, would you like to speak?
I need your name if you're going to comment. I would have no name for my minutes if I don't get your name.
If you would come up to the podium.
I want you to go to the podium if you
want
to speak.
Jesus Christ.
Lisa
Whitehead, he's an employee of the city, so he's getting paid to cut the grass, and then y'all allow him to do whatever with the hay he wants?
He cuts the grass on his off time at night or on the weekend.
So he's using his own equipment, or is he using the city's equipment?
He uses his own tractor.
But why doesn't the city cut it? And then y'all profit from it, and y'all do what you want. I mean, it sounds ridiculous.
That's up to the council.
You've got $50,000 to put into the equipment. Mm-hmm.
Y'all have enough equipment, do you not?
No.
Special.
And I really don't want, I don't think the city of Walnut Grove needs to get into the hay selling business.
Business.
I mean, I personally don't have an issue with either contracting it out to a third party to come in and maintain cutting that field. If they are profiting from the hay, so be it, so long as we're not paying them to cut that field. Now, if we are paying them to cut that field, we're talking about a different story. But if they're willing to do that, on the profit of whatever clippings they receive from it, all the better.
The hay won't be good for anything after the sewer plant gets up and running. After all of that is sprayed out over the field, it can't be used for animal consumption. It can only be used for landscaping purposes. It's limited to what you can even use that for after we start the sewer plant up and running.
And I wouldn't mind in the future if we have another party that would like to take bids on cutting that field for the hay, and giving us, you know, a return, then that would be fine. But up until this point, I don't think, under my understanding, is that we have anybody willing to do so. So the way I look at it, this is a benefit to the city to be able to have that field cut without us paying for it, so long as they're responsible enough not to do the damage to our field and our sprinkler heads and any equipment on there.
Ma'am, Alan has been out there since day one with that spray field. He knows it like the back of his hand. He is well equipped to run a tractor. Thank you for your time.
Come to the podium.
My name is Brian Hilbert, and I work for the city of Walnut Grove. Of course, y'all know that. Just letting y'all know. Alan did not cut that hay on the weekend. He cut it during the week. I seen him do it. I sit there and weed eater around spray heads for 2 days straight.
Are you saying he did it during his time at working?
Yes, and it's
on the clock for the city. I know his salary. I done heard that one time before.
But.
And I can't hold it in no more.
But they, he cut right. It.
What?
It's not right to do that. I think all y'all would agree with me.
There are a lot of things that we probably would agree to in different ways. But I'm not sure that I understand your reasoning for saying that.
Because
has that been a bug in your saddle for a long time?
I don't think it's a correct way of doing things. Cut hay, give hay, sell hay. I mean,
the hay is not going to be used for any animal. It can't be.
So what
do you think he's going to be using it for?
When the sewer plant is up and running, the hay will be no good. The sewer plant's not up and running yet. It's attached to one person. That's Silt Saver.
And what about the pre-emergent and the fertilizer? If you're a livestock person, you're not going to put that kind of stuff into your horses and cows' mouth. There are certain ways to fertilize those fields for that kind of hay.
What about last year? The sewer plant's not up and running right now.
It's got the hay has to be cut, and it was an agreement with Alan to do so.
That's fine. I just think that's wrong. Wrong procedure. He's an employee. He shouldn't do that. If you can do it on the weekend, if you cut hay, you know you can't do it on 2 days. So, that's my argument. I just had to say it.
Yes, ma'am.
Stephanie Moncrief. I am having a very difficult time right now trying to understand why you don't understand that this is wrong. He works for the city. He is benefiting from his position as a city employee. It is unethical. It is illegal. It is wrong. What do we not understand about that? I'm very curious to hear. Thank you.
Was you finished?
I would just simply say in listening to this, I want to kind of say to everyone, because I'm kind of at a loss here. I spoke what I knew based on the sewage board. Okay, the first time I've heard of this going up, I spoke what I knew that was set up. All right. And my question would be, number one, I don't know where Brian has spoken or who he has spoken to about this, if he has spoken, and I'm not asking him to answer that now. But I would say this does not seem like a thing that needs to be addressed at City Council right now. This sounds like an employee issue or a contractor issue, and that that should fall to his boss people, whether that's all of council or the mayor, to address and find out if he has in fact been doing that on his work time, and if not, that, or if he has, then addressing that doesn't take place. I agree that it is not appropriate for him to do it on work time. but it sounds to me like there's a lot of people saying things that I have nothing in here. I have no to show me that this is actually what's going on or not going on. So that's all I would ask of the council is to
Mr. Mayor,
take a look at it outside of here.
Table this issue
that's what I'm saying.
Until he can be here.
Yep. That's what I was going to say. We're going to table this. The motion to table it.
I make a motion to table this discussion until we talk to Alan Martin.
Second.
All in favor?
Would you?
Motion passed.
Yeah, motion passed. All right. Financial report.
The financials are in your notebook. Is there a motion to accept the financials?
I make a motion to re-accept the financials.
Is there a second?
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passed.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I'd like to add a request that this budget be given to us a couple of days prior to the city council meeting so we can review this and save some time during this meeting.
The financials, not the budget. You're talking about the financials? Mm-hmm. I can email those to y'all in advance.
Right.
We're going to save us some time.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Clerk's report.
All right. This report is going to be for the months of March and April since we didn't have the April council meeting. So in the month of March, there were 36 citations issued, 16 from Georgia State Patrol, 20 from the Walton County Sheriff's Department. In April, there were 11 total citations issued, 2 from Georgia State Patrol, 9 from Walton County Sheriff's Department. And the business license, there were none issued or renewed in April and March. And other permits that were issued in March, we had a deck permit issued, and then someone got a permit for remodeling. And in April, we had a storage building permit issued. The ballpark reservations were in March, we had 12. In April, we had 8. The pavilion was reserved March 6 times, April twice.
Okay. All right. We're going out of code enforcement. We ain't here tonight.
It's not.
Okay. All right, the mayor's report. That's me. It's going to be short and sweet. We had Armor Day celebration And Mr. Burrow Bud, with the Forestry Department, announced that Walnut Grove has met all the conditions to be a tree city. And if you'll notice, there's a couple of signs and that kind of to signify that here in the city. And let's see, on June the 7th at 10 o'clock, the new Walton County Fire and EMS building will be open and up and running. They're going to cut the ribbon on it.
Okay, what was that date?
June the 7th at 10 o'clock. And we would like to have everybody to attend that, if you would like. It'll be something we're going to be proud of. So, and also, let me make this little comment right here about the sewer thing. They will be the first ones to flush it, the fire department. Well, they the first ones is tapping it. All right. We're going out to old business. Any old business? What I got on the new business, Kathy?
The new business is going to be where we amended the agenda to have council look at the bids for the heat pump at City Hall. Our heat pump went out. So the very last thing in your folder is the three quotes we got on the heat pump for your consideration.
The pump and the air conditioning both.
Just if you'll just reach in there, they're all, just pull that out of that sleeve. There's three quotes there for you to look at.
And these ladies about to run me out of the county because they get hot.
It was only 83 in the office today.
Save those church fans.
That's what I say. We got the bids.
Carol, just slide those out. There's three in there. Mm-hmm. In that plastic sleeve. Right there, you just picked up with your. There's three in there. If you'll just pull them out.
Just take them out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That should be it, right there. You got it.
Yeah.
Didn't know if I needed a permit to do that or not.
And all three of these quotes, I don't think it's all on there, but they all said that they could install this as early as Monday or start on it.
Mike, you want me to read the map on this bid?
The only question I have on this is, I know that I would normally say that let's go for the lowest quote, but the lowest quote with a 10-year warranty on it might be beneficial versus the 5-year.
Okay. Why don't you read out the quotes? All right, we have three. Go ahead, Kathy, read the quotes out.
The first one, Wayne Dimsdale, he quoted a Goodman 3-ton 14 SEER heat pump with a 5-year warranty on the unit and 1-year warranty on the labor for $4,200. And then Mayfield and Pool Heating and Air out of Social Circle, they quoted a Rheem system, a 3.5-ton package heat pump. And their price was $5,690. And I did have Alan call them because they didn't have it on here, but they did a warranty of 10 years on the unit and 1 year on the labor. And then Top Notch Mechanical out of Covington, they also did a quote on a Goodman unit, which was the same as the one Wayne Dimsdale did. except it's a 3.5-ton. I see that on here. Mm-hmm. 3.5-ton system. And they did a 10-year warranty on their unit and 1 year on the labor. And their price was $4,688. So you had $4,688 on a Goodman, $4,200 on a 3-ton Goodman, and then you had a Rheem system for $5,690 on a 3.5-ton.
Yeah, that motion on this?
I make a motion that we go with Top Notch Mechanical with a 10-year warranty. For $4,688, because I'd much rather have the extra 5 years on the sole parts.
And they're offering what? A 10-year warranty in all parts and 1 year labor?
Mm-hmm.
That's this one with the handwritten.
The 46 in there. Yeah, 10 years, 1 year. Yeah. 10 years, 1 year. 10 year on the warranty and 1 year on the labor. Mike, do we have to take a look at this?
He's made a motion. We're doing it. We need a second.
Give me a second on that.
I'll second.
All in favor? Motion carried. All right. Is there any discussion, Adam? Anything about getting discussion? And we'll go to council comment.
I want to appreciate everybody coming up today and the comments that y'all made about the library. They really give me a lot of thought. I'd like to really get some more information on it. And also the comments about the hay, that was something that was brought to me, and it didn't seem like as big as an ordeal as I thought. But I want to make sure that that we as a city council are transparent in everything that we do, to make sure that the city is aware and our citizens aware of what we do, and so that there's not going to be any question. If you have an issue, please continue to come up and say so we can look into it now. I'm here for y'all, and so that's what we're here for. Okay, thank you so much. And the library is very important. I don't quite understand the hour difference, why you can't go, but maybe you can fill me in later on.
Working 6 days, Monday through Saturday.
Okay.
And my daughter does, and a lot of us. So.
Yeah, we had to, in order to make up some money, monetary difference, we had to close one full day on Sundays and then a partial night on Thursdays in order to shimmy some of those.
So by the time you get off work, you can't get to the library just when they close.
Well, we want to look into that because the library is very important. I think that we get through this year, we can probably make some changes next year. If we find it, I think the city council may be able to help you out. But I do appreciate it. Thank you so much.
I'm willing to fundraise, whatever we can do. we need to come up with something positive for our future. These children are our future. They're going to be sitting up here one day,
We
need to support them.
Well, I agree with what Mark said about being transparent, that everybody needs to know what everybody else is doing, that we're doing it honestly and openly, and everybody understands. And I want to say about the library, too, it's very important to me, and I'm going to try hard to get the funds to put it back where it belongs.
Thank you.
just find the whole thing very intriguing, because I know the importance, since we're talking about the library, I know the importance of the library. And I understand, probably beyond what most people do, the reasons to have it for children. I fought for libraries my whole life, and I haven't quit, and I haven't said that this is going to be a dead in the water situation. I know that somewhere down the road, as we increase our housing and increase our population and get new blood on council as all of us fade away, I expect that library to be twice in size what it is today. That would be my hope and wish, is if I leave this earth tonight, that I would hope that somewhere along the line, wherever I'm floating around in spirit, I can look down and see a library at least twice that size. I expect to see many changes here in Walnut Grove with the influx of people that we're going to be having simply because we live in Walton County. I envision a hospital here one day. I envision many different things, sit-down restaurants. I expect this community to grow, but we can't do it if we don't have you here every time we have a meeting. You know, people call me and say they're going to be here. I look around the room, I don't see them. The only time we see you is when there's something that could be an issue. We need your support to say to us as we sit up here and make these decisions, and we agonize over some of these decisions. I can tell you that right now. Some of them are not easy to make because I don't want to inject Carol Witcher's ideas into what this town knows and wants. I need to represent you. The people that voted me in expect me to represent them. We need you here. This city is not going to make it without your support. We've got to be cognizant of that. And in situations of personnel, that issue should come to the mayor and allow the mayor, who is the personnel manager of the city, to make those decisions and discuss it. I don't know that it's apropos in a situation like this to have done that, especially since the young man that spoke is the child of the woman that brought it up. That bothers me for a multitude of reasons. If something isn't done adequately and done the right way, we will stay as ethically as we possibly can. I guarantee you, because I don't want to see the Ethics Commission eyeball to eyeball, nose to nose, and toes to toes. We will do the best we can for this city under every and single circumstance. If I don't do the best, I personally will get up and walk out the door and say, I can't do it. I feel very strong about keeping this city above board, clean, growing, people be able to sit down and talk to each other in rational ways just for fun, and our new restaurants that are coming in. Don't just come to City Hall to complain. Come up sometimes and say, you know, I really know that you guys work hard and I appreciate it. This is your town. You elected us. Tell us what you want. Support us when we try to come in here on Thursday nights and make these hard decisions. You will never know how I agonized over this whole meeting today. To say the right things, to do the right things, to make the right decisions. To say we want the library. We want it to grow. We want it to be bigger. We want it to do everything. We're not trying to keep it from you. We're trying to find a way that we can put the money that little bit of money that we have to work with in this city, that we can put it in the right places at the right amount of time. I wish everybody in the library could make $20,000 a year, but boy, that's a dream right now. One day it won't be a dream, it'll be a reality. But we need your support. You need to show up every Thursday. Maybe we'll have a barbecue on the grounds and you'll show up. I don't know what it takes to get everybody here. But talk to your neighbors and talk to your friends and think about it for yourself. This is your town. We'll have our own police department one day instead of having to look in the back of the room and know that we've got a Walton County Sheriff's Department officer with us tonight. Thank you for coming. This is your town. Claim it. Own it. Be a part of it. We don't, you know, we sit up here trying to do the absolute very best that we possibly can with the information we've been given. Speech over.
All right.
I've got to say something right quick. It's good to see Andy Bird out and about again tonight.
Thank you.
I know he's been down and out for a while, but he's a longtime servant of Walnut Grove. Him, his mom, and his dad served the city for a long, long time. It's good to see you out and about.
I agree with that.
I ain't going to say it, Andy.
I'll say it.
No, I can't say nothing about my buddy.
No, that's our guy.
Sure is. Don, after this meeting, I want to speak to you for a minute. Okay?
I make a motion to adjourn.
I second that.
All in favor, stand.